Welcome to Data for What, the Development Gateway podcast. I'm your host, Vanessa Goaz, and in this series, we're exploring the intersection of climate change with data. In each episode, we'll delve into the pressing issues shaping our world by examining the critical role of data and technology in understanding and addressing the urgent challenge of climate change. In this episode, we're speaking about how DG is supporting the Great Green Wall Initiative, and our guests are Gilles Amadou Ouedraogo from the United Nations Convention to Combat Desertification, and DGer Joshua Mbai. And now I'm going to turn it over to our guests and let them introduce themselves.
Thank you very much. My name is Joshua Mbai, working at the Development Gateway, based in Nairobi, Kenya. I am also the project manager for the Great Green Wall Project.
Thanks, Joshua. Gilles Amadou, can you please introduce yourself?
My name is Gilles Amadou Ouedraogo, and I'm a program management officer at the United Nations Convention to Combat Desertification. I manage the Great Green Wall Accelerator, which is a unit designed to support the implementation of the Great Green Wall Initiative. The Great Green Wall Initiative is a flagship initiative for Africa created by the African Union to essentially halt the progression of the Sahara Desert southward. Today, it's evolved into an initiative that is multi-sectoral in nature and touches on agroforestry, agroecology, rangelands, pastoralism, value chains, agribusiness, ecopreneurship, and many, many other aspects of sustainable development.
Thanks, Gilles, and thanks for the introduction also to the initiative itself. And maybe you could also tell us, what are some of the main challenges that the initiative is facing these days?
The Great Green Wall Initiative is definitely facing challenges. It's been in implementation for over a decade. However, the first thing you'll notice is that there's not currently a coordinated approach into the implementation of projects. So when you look at the list or the databases of projects that we were able to compile based on declarations from implementing partners or from funding entities, Great Green Wall initiatives don't talk to each other. Great Green Wall projects exist in silos. And so having them coordinate and having them essentially respond to needs where they exist the most is of crucial nature. The other thing is that the success of the initiative lies on collaboration, robust collaboration and innovative partnerships that unite the efforts of all stakeholders. So that's central to the Pan-African Agency for the Great Green Wall, which has the onus for the implementation of the initiative and coordinates and oversees all national agencies for the Great Green Wall. This agency currently is not formed to its highest potential. It is currently understaffed and it's not able to play its role like it's needed due to limited funding, limited capacity, and sometimes government backing isn't always where it needs to be due to the crises in the Sahel currently. They are very involved in decision-making processes as well. They are a permanent secretariat that is managed by the countries and at the presidential level and managed at the ministerial level. So enhanced ministerial representation and inclusion of key ministries such as finance, planning, environment, water, agriculture, and sustainable development is also essential to make sure that the agency is able to implement everything that it needs to. The creation of the Great Green Wall Accelerator was a response to this gap in implementation. We could respond to some of the gaps that have been identified in a report that was published in 2020, being mostly monitoring. So how is progress measured with the Great Green Wall Initiative? And as well, governance, how are we managing Great Green Wall initiatives and coordination? How are partners who are implementing Great Green Wall projects working together towards the same objectives? And how are we making sure that we're able to tally these results?
Tell me a little bit about how the Great Green Wall has been using data until now and how that ties into combating climate change and focusing on climate action.
The Pan-African Agency has been attempting to use a slew of different systems from a slew of different partners. Before the Pan-African Agency was fully formed, though, you had projects, Great Green Wall projects like the SAWAP and the Surigawa that were basically created for knowledge management for the Great Green Wall and really encouraged a new approach towards measuring results and success for the Great Green Wall, having to do with tons of carbon that is sequestered and measuring hectares rather than number of trees. And this essentially has shaped the way that the Great Green Wall is implemented today.
Right. So changing gears a little bit to the work that we've been doing together, Joshua, could you please tell us a little bit about what the Great Green Wall Observatory is and why the observatory is important for the initiative overall?
Thank you very much. So the Great Green World Observatory is an integrated open access system that has been developed to bring together Great Green World implementation data from donors, local teams, and from the frontline communities, aggregate both financial data and resource data at implementation level and put them together. This is the first system that is both open source and puts together data from the finance side and also from the project implementation side. It's available online. You can access it through djwobservatory.org, and it's available in both English and French. The data that we have there is based on the data that has been entered into the Great Green World Project Management Platform, which is accessible to both country teams and the implementing partners. The goal of the observatory was to give access to researchers, the academia, private businesses, and private investors. The initial data that is available on the observatory is based on the commitments that were made by donors during Grand Planet Summit. This is the first tool that brings together data on finances alongside results based on standardized indicators. And therefore, basically, we're saying this is the first tool where we can match the dollar to a hectare of land that has been short, or a ton of carbon dioxide equivalent that has been sequestered, or a job that has been created for the frontline communities that are working in the South.
That's really amazing. I mean, I think especially to be able to make those connections that you mentioned, Joshua, between a dollar and a hectare of land. I mean, this is probably one of the first times we've been able to visualize data in that kind of way. And I'm really curious, Gilles, I know that we recently held a training in Burkina Faso together for the users of this system. What are you hearing that are going to be some of the challenges that the observatory is going to help address? Bring us to real life a little bit here. What are our potential users saying that this tool is going to help with?
I cannot stress this enough. The Great Green World Observatory is a game changer in access to data and how the Great Green World is going to work from now on. Here's why. We are operating in a space where you have national agencies for the Great Green World that are not involved, consulted, informed, or looped in when Great Green World projects are being signed at the government level. This platform is solving the issue of Great Green World projects not getting to their desks when they are put into implementation. Today, they're able to go on this website, log in, and access every single Great Green World project in existence in their country that has ever existed, that exists currently, or that is in planning phases. When they do get this information, they're able to fill it up in the system and keep track of these projects. Now, the Ouagadougou workshop was really important. Why? It also served as a space where they agreed upon a governance mechanism to carry this platform. So in my opinion, the platform is really important, yeah? But at the end of the day, it is what it is. It remains a tool. And unless the tool is carried by accountability system and a governance system that is using it to amplify effectiveness, we're just going to stay in the same place. So the tool needs to be used, and it needs to include all partners involved in the Great Green Wall so information can flow through it and inform us on how the initiative is advancing. So this is something that was absolutely needed, that he identified as a gap as early as 2020 in terms of what not only the national agencies needed, but just even the Great Green Wall ecosystems in each country needed. So this really will help this work move forward. As long as we're able to coordinate, as long as we're able to talk to each other at the local level, at the national level, and at the regional level.
That's fantastic. And I think anybody that works in this data space knows that getting agreement across different countries, much less 11 different countries, on how data is going to be collected, shared, used, et cetera, it's not an easy feat. So I'm curious how much this value proposition went into the development of this process of how to collect and share data, Gilles. In particular, when you're talking to the member organizations of Great Green Wall, is this something that went into this kind of conversation with them?
The impression that I got was that this was needed a really, really long time ago. They had more questions about how do I make sure I get this information to the platform than, oh, I don't want to share this. They're on the end of not receiving information because data is being protected at another ministry. So maybe they have information at the Ministry of Agriculture or the Water Ministry, and they're not sharing with the Environment Ministry, which is where most of the Great Green Wall focal points are sitting. So this is a way for them to get access to information that wasn't shared with them in the past. And it gives them a basis to say, hey, we have this information and we'd like to be looped in. Can you please tell us about XYZ project and how far along you are? And let us know if we can do anything. We are the Great Green Wall National Coordination, after all. We should also be playing a role in this process.
Bringing this back, I think, a little bit to Development Gateway and our strategy and what we've been seeing in our work the last several years, DG has its roots in supporting good resource and financial governance and aid effectiveness for almost 20 years now. This is something that we have been working on, building tools that institutions can use to track financial flows and monitor progress towards development goals. So this work with Great Green Wall, it really feels like a natural extension of work that is very deeply in our DNA. So by providing this tool, this for project management for data to the GGW states, we think that the observatory can help promote accountability and transparency and is really helping to close the loop between all of the different stakeholders that you both have been describing in your description of this project. I mean, there's everybody from the sort of regional level, the national level, different ministries, funders, and really people at the front line who are facing the challenges of climate change every day. You know, funding for climate action is very buzzy right now. Everybody's funding different things for climate action in different ways. It's like climate dash whatever. We think this kind of work can help bring some of that buzz down to earth and really where the rubber meets the road and really ground things in reality. And especially when the resources are scarce and the need is so great. So another question for you, Gilles, of course, all in the development world, we are looking at the question of localization, bringing our partners and the stakeholders that are deep in the work to the table and making sure that they have a voice and they are enable to do that the work they need to do. So how is the Great Green Wall ensuring that member countries have the capacity to provide up-to-date data going forward? Because getting their data in the system and keeping it constantly updated, this is going to be a critical measure of success, I suppose.
You're absolutely right. It's definitely a challenge. It has been a challenge, but one that surprisingly, despite all the roadblocks, the Pan-African Agency has been very responsive with. And I'll be very honest, this observatory wouldn't have seen the light of day without the contributions from the Pan-African Agency for the Great Green Wall. Their monitoring and evaluation service is actually doing the best that it can with the information at hand to compile information and data and knowledge to inform the Great Green Wall processes. We're really lucky to have had such a collaborative partner that understands the needs and attempts to work with the countries to cater to them as well. So they've been very helpful in providing insightful data where possible, because there are still some gaps existing, but they keep working on that. And whenever it's possible, they communicate what they can. And with whatever they communicate, we're able to fill that into the platform. And now they're taking more of a leadership role in its administration and the way that it's managed. So we're really, really happy to see that. And that's extremely positive.
Joshua, how is the Great Green Wall Observatory designed to benefit the communities at the local level?
So in the design of the Great Green Wall Observatory, we designed it in such a way that we can enable the communities at the front line to be able to make use of data that is in the observatory. The work of restoring is not just for government, it's not just for the donors, it is for everyone within the Sahel community. And is the reason that the observatory is an open access system where we believe every person has access to things. So the answer to this is we want everyone to be involved, to be able to track, to be able to be involved in advocacy, accountability, and even the innovation around it. So for this, we went a step further. We are allowing the academia, allowing researchers, allowing the civil society, business people and innovators to make use of the available data that is there, to one organize resources, to inform advocacy efforts for the initiative, and also to be able to use that data to hold donors and states accountable to the commitments that they made to the people of the Sahel region.
Gilles, can you tell me why the Great Green Wall is prioritizing interoperability so much in this project and in other work?
This was a mutual point of agreement between the Pan-African Agency and the Great Green Wall Accelerator. We came into this process 3 years ago, and 3 years ago, the initiative had been in existence for a decade already. There was a need to recognize that we weren't operating in a void, that there were a slew of different solutions that had been proposed before we came along. And this begged the recognition that these systems, these platforms, these digital solutions also had their weight. And one thing that Marcelin says every single time we meet at any possible occasion is that alone, you can go fast, but together, we will go far. And that has been the mantra and the approach of the Great Green Wall Initiative. They want every single system that has ever existed from the Great Green Wall to be included into this observatory so that nothing is lost and no one is reinventing the wheel, and that we have a sort of a one-stop shop on Great Green Wall technology, on best practices, on success stories, on science that is relevant to the Great Green Wall, on geospatial solutions, NPP, soil organic carbon, for instance, is one of the variables that is very important to the initiative and just to geospatial mapping, as well as land cover change, for instance. Having all of that in the solution is extremely important, and we are committed to making sure that every partner that has a viable solution to propose towards this process is included, and we are establishing a link from their system to ours so we can have the best of all worlds.
Joshua, tell us about how interoperability as a concept has been integrated within the observatory itself.
We have designed the observatory in a way that allows us, one, to link to other systems. And secondly, by the time we were designing the observatory, there are a couple of things that have been done, which is that made it very easy for us to build a system that allows interoperability. And one of them, the standardization of how we define indicators for the Great Green Wall. Jill and team had worked very hard to make sure that there's a common understanding, a common definition of what indicators across the country, across the GW initiative. That makes it very easy for us to be able to link systems that define data in the same way. And the third thing that was very important was towards the end, we realized that some of the key donors of GGW were actually publishing data publicly. They'd already adopted open creation of data, and that means we could easily access their data, link to their systems, and own the data they have in their systems into ours. And this fully accelerated the process of us starting to use data that is already published by the agencies, but also being able to build pipeline and a way of scheduling other systems that we could interlink with and that we could work on interoperability.
You know, it's really exciting for me to hear about the possibilities and the realities of interoperability in action. We've talked to a few guests before on this podcast about the challenges of making sense of a situation when there are so many systems and so many data sets that are in reality like very related, but in practice can't communicate with one another. And in particular, we've found this question a lot in climate change and in climate action, since there are climate effects essentially every part of life. So the data sets for every sector are critical for this. I think those of us who work with data on a regular basis, we can see how the initial flurry in the so-called data revolution that was, you know, some years ago, that was, I think, leading the discourse on data and development, it created a lot of data sets. It created a lot of systems, but they really didn't stop to think about what would be the future of that data. How was it going to be maintained? Data governance rules, we're seeing questions of data privacy. And also we're seeing more focus on how can these data sets and data systems work together? Because individually, each data set tells one story, but together the data sets are going to tell an even more strong story, a more clear story for us to take action in a critical moment like this. I can say that increasingly our partners are recognizing how important it is to work through these questions. It's really exciting for us because I feel like we've been banging the drum for a while on interoperability. And I think we can maximize a lot of progress made in data and digital for development, especially in climate action. So to close us out, what's next for Great Green Wall and what's next for the Great Green Wall Observatory?
The data task force is going to be instrumental just as much as the monitoring task force is going to be crucial in ensuring that not only is the observatory used by all relevant stakeholders, but in addition, that they're able to improve the platform through an inclusive and collaborative process where existing knowledge is leveraged to benefit the Great Green Wall community and built upon using our new methodology. We really look forward to the system coming to its completion. It's been launched already as of June 3rd officially, and we're going to be working very closely with DG and with the Great Green Wall agencies to make sure that all the entered data is as accurate as possible as soon as possible.
We're currently finishing the final touches with the geospatial functionalities and the interoperability aspect that are being added with partners. In our view, this is a complete game changer, not only in the monitoring progress of the Great Green Wall, but also and especially in the space of resource mobilization, more specifically evidence-based resource mobilization, because we're really using data to make sure that every country is able to leverage what they bring to the Great Green Wall and how that can be capitalized to change the lives of not only Sahelians, but any Great Green Wall stakeholder across the globe.
Thanks to both of my guests, Gilles and Joshua, for joining me today, for sharing your insights, your ideas, also your excitement. We have been so glad to have this opportunity to collaborate on this project. It's exciting for us for many different reasons, and looks like there's still a lot of opportunity and things to look out for.
Thank you for listening, and a special thanks to our guests. This episode was produced and edited by Annalisa Goodman. Our theme music was created by Mark Hatcher. Learn more about Development Gateway and IREX Venture on our website at developmentgateway.org or through our social media.